today on Real Radio.
The amazing thing is, you guys, as we look at chapter 7 and no doubt through the book, throughout the book, the Lord was and is faithful. The Lord was faithful to them, and the Lord is faithful to them. The Lord was faithful to us. The Lord is faithful to us because His word never fails.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called God's Word is Always True, Part 1, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. I'm David Jay. So glad you could join us. God called the prophet Isaiah primarily to the nation of Judah and to the city of Jerusalem. God wanted Judah to turn away from their sin and return to Him so He could continue to bless them. Isaiah is also called the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament because God used him not only to share the good news of the coming Messiah, but also what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In part 2 from Isaiah chapter 6, we looked at how God wants to fulfill what He has called us to do. He knows we can't do it on our own, but only through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not to listen to what the world says to do in life, but to share the truth only found in Jesus Christ. We're all called by God to be faithful, to stand on God's word, and proclaim the truth, knowing the results are in God's hands. Now, in Isaiah chapter 7, we're reminded how God is bound to His word, and that His word is eternal and true. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that God esteems His word above His own name. Even when Judah faces war from its enemies, Isaiah tells them not to panic and not to lose heart. God will not allow the invasion to happen. But if they do not stand firm in faith, they'll not stand at all. And now in his lesson called God's Word is Always True, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
That You would strengthen them, and Lord God, that You would just continue to open up our eyes and the eyes of all of Your children around the world to the reality, real, the true reality, which transcends our emotions and our perspective, our view on things. We thank You, Lord God, that You're enthroned in heaven. Your truth, Your word reigns supreme forever. And this world, thank You, God, this world is not what we will inherit as is. We don't want anything to do with this world until Jesus comes back. And until that time comes, Lord, we thank You, dear God, that we are Yours and You are ours. So, Father, bless now the going forth of Your word. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Turn to the book of Isaiah tonight, you guys. Isaiah chapter 7 tonight. 25 verses of chapter 7. We'll go as far as we can tonight. We're looking at a message titled, God's Word is Always True. Will you write that down? God's Word is Always True. Well, how true is that statement? Absolute. Why? Because God's Word's always true. It's God's Word. It's not our Word. One of the great things for us as believers. And there's no doubt it was heartbreaking for Isaiah to see the death of not only the nation in total, because remember, the kingdom's divided. The 10 tribes in the north called Israel. They kept the name. And the 2 southern tribes, Benjamin and Judah to the south, and they bear the name Judah. And so the kingdom divided, and yet Isaiah's weeping over the nation in total, and certainly weeping over the death of the nation as he watches Judah, the area of ministry that he's predominantly been granted a ministry to by the Lord. And there's no question that it had to be heart-wrenching. I have never met in my life a more patriotic people in the world than the Israelis. Second are the Americans. There's no doubt about it. But I got to tell you, in Israel, it's off the charts. If you've been there, you know exactly what I mean. But I think if you're a Canadian tonight, or a Peruvian, or a Brazilian tonight, there is a national pride that I actually believe God has placed in your human hearts, in my human hearts. I believe that this is of God. I don't think it's carnal. I don't think someone wrote me recently and said it was a sin for me to propagate or to promote a sense of nationalism. The person was rebuking me that we have an American flag out on the property. It should only be a Christian flag. For me to talk about getting involved in the culture via politics or places of power is wrong. And I look, everyone, this is America. You are so absolutely welcome to your opinion. Isn't it a great country? I mean, it's messed up royally, but it's still the best messed up place on the planet. And you're not upsetting me by sharing that. I mean, I recognize God's given me a huge platform, and I get to say things that, you know, you out there, if you disagree or have a different view, your platform may be limited, and so you want to, I get that. I understand that frustration. But I think it's biblical what I'm talking about. Because if you look at the Israelites, they were very proud about being Israeli. Listen, there was a sense in the United States, maybe it's a little bit less now than it was before, but people were proud. And what's my biblical understanding of that? The Bible says that God has predetermined the borders and boundaries of nations and peoples. He says that. The book of Daniel, he says that. And so God does that. He places you in a country. Look, if you're from Mexico, you should be very, very concerned and involved in making Mexico the best Mexico it can be. That's good. Do that. Giving that to Isaiah, it had to be gut-wrenching for him to watch his nation dying. But it was a self-inflicted wound upon the nation. The nation had done this to themselves. The amazing thing is, you guys, as we look at chapter 7 and no doubt throughout the book, the Lord was and is faithful. The Lord was faithful to them and the Lord is faithful to them. The Lord was faithful to us. The Lord is faithful to us because his word never fails. And we probably won't get to it this week, but next week, you'll see how faithful God is even in the midst of a people who reject him. He's still faithful. And you're going to hear tonight as God speaks. Isaiah is going to speak to several, but one of them is going to be Ahaz. You guys remember King Ahaz? What a bad guy. The worst, one of the worst kings in the history of Israel, the worst king in the history of Judah, Ahaz. And yet God is going to speak to him through Isaiah words of mercy, words of patience, words of kindness, which is kind of what we just heard a moment ago from, was it Bashir? Interceding and praying that God would open up ISIS eyes, that they would see and come out of their bad religion. What causes the persecuted to pray like that, having a proper perspective? So the first thing we see, you guys, in verses 1-9, God's word is always true. Number one is because God keeps his word. Mark that down, please. You're very happy to know this. God keeps his word. God is bound to his word. Now watch this. Listen to this. This is very cool, but don't misunderstand me. God is bound to his word. He keeps his word, but do not miss or don't misunderstand God's word in the sense of what you or how you interpret God's word. Don't think that your interpretation of God's word makes God's word a certain way. God's word is eternal and true, and he says in Psalm 138, write it down, it's not on the notes, Psalm 138, God says, I esteem my word above my own name. Now that's huge, okay? Jesus said, I have spoken only and everything my Father has told me to speak. He said, without my Father telling me what to say, I've said nothing. Isn't that amazing? That's what, listen, what Jesus said, recorded in the Bible, is exactly what the Father told him to say. That's why it's wonderful. Listen, were you ever caught in the act of adultery and grabbed by a religious leader and drugged to the foot of the judge, as it were, and condemned? Did you repent of that? Then Jesus says, he who is without sin, let him throw the first stone at her. Jesus says to her, where are your accusers? And she says, she must have looked around. I have none. And he says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. In other words, go. Your life's been changed. Don't live like that anymore. And she goes to a new life. What do we get out of that? That's exactly how the Holy Spirit speaks. That's exactly how the Father speaks. That's exactly how the Son speaks. That's God speaking. Isn't that awesome? That's the Lord. He keeps his word, but listen, he is subject to his word. He is not subject to what we try to make his word be. He is not subject to how you and I want the word interpreted for our own personal benefit. Well, I want this out of God, so I'm going to claim this verse. Have you ever heard people say, I'm going to claim this verse? And you say, well, what verse are you claiming? In fact, I can't even think of a verse because they twist them so badly. But it's interesting. It always comes down to getting something for themselves. Money, winning the lotto, whatever it is. I'm going to claim this. And when you begin to peel back the motives or get to the motive, it's almost always selfish. God is not obligated to you or me when we take a Bible verse out of context and then make it our claim and we hold God hostage with his own word. No, that's not how it works. Jesus says to me the most absolute, ultimate submission to the word of God was Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he makes his prayer known to the Father and then qualifies his request by saying, yet not my will be done, your will. Amen. Wow. Why? God keeps his word. The best thing that can happen to you and I is for his word to be lived out more and more in our lives. Verse 1, chapter 7, now it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, that's the northern kingdom now, had, we'll see in a moment, established an alliance. That Rezin, king of Syria. Notice this in your Bible. Circle the word Syria. Move down a little bit in verse 1. Circle the word Israel there, king of Israel. These two kings, Rezin and Pekah, they've assembled together. And so it says they went up to Jerusalem to make war against it. So the king of Syria and the king of the northern tribes of Israel assembled together to attack Judah. They're coming against Isaiah's land. Ahaz is king. Watch what happens as we read this. They went up to Jerusalem to make war against it, but could not prevail against it. Verse 2. And it was told to the house of David. Listen to this. David, the house of David is in Judah, okay? Everybody in the southern kingdom? This is what God said to the house of David. So he's speaking to Ahaz. Syria's forces are deployed in Ephraim. That's Judah, the south. We're moved. Watch. Ephraim, Judah. We're moved. The word is shaken like a leaf. As the trees of the woods are moved in the wind. So in other words, Ahaz and the southern tribe of Judah, they hear that Pekah and Rezin are attacking. They're going to be coming from the north, this armada or this entourage of war. And all the people of Judah are just absolutely terrified. And when it says that they're moved, they're shaking like a leaf. They're physically sickened. Watch, they're so terrified by the thought of these armies invading. Now think for a moment. They are so up, they're so moved that they can't sleep. They're shaking. They're sick. They're terrified. And for me, all of a sudden, this has more of a meaning than it ever has before, because I'm thinking about how those in Egypt are feeling, and in Lebanon are feeling, and Jordan are feeling, and Algeria, how they're feeling, and what's going on. Because there's believers in all of these nations that I've just mentioned. But even now we know in the news that the kings of these nations are shaking like leaves on a tree. The difference is, notice, have you guys noticed how quiet it's been in Israel? And how Israel has been out of the news regarding all of these things that you're hearing right now? Isn't it amazing? By the way, the Bible says, He, it's the Lord, capital H, He who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. You want an Iron Dome missile defense? God says, I preside, I'm watching over Israel right now. Now, we'll see in a moment as we get further into this study that tremendous things will happen to Israel, yet God does not abandon them. But these now in Judah, they're shaken, they're terrified, they're scared. And we understand that. Look at verse 3. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, and this is where it gets fun. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out now to meet Ahaz, you, that's Isaiah, and Shear Yashub, that's Isaiah's son, Shear Yashub. You see, that's a weird name. That's nothing. Remember to the introduction we gave? That's nothing compared to the name of his other boy. Malhaz Shalalazbaz is the other kid's name. Shear Yashub, his name means that a remnant shall be kept or shall escape. Merhash Shalalazbaz means that a remnant shall return. That's a tremendous name to give your kid. What'd you call him when you're upset with him? You know, Shear Yashub, that sounds kind of cool, actually. What'd you call him for short? Shear, like Shere Khan in the Disney movie. Shear Yashub, that sounds kind of manly. But can you imagine? Malhaz Shalalazbaz, get over here. What do you call him? Molly, Mal, Shaz, Shazbaz, Baz, Haz. Poor guy, but hey, that's their names. And so, but Isaiah's son is in there. Your son, he says, look, he continues in the middle of verse 3, at the end of the aqueduct, from the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field, verse 4, and say to him, take heed and be quiet. This is so cool. Speak. Tell him, take heed. Don't panic. Be quiet. You don't have to panic. Be quiet. Do not fear or be faint-hearted. Man, these words are applicable today. For these two stubs of smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Remaliah. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have plotted evil against you, saying, here's what they said. The two kings coming against Judah. Verse 6, let us go up against Judah and trouble it. And let us make a gap in its wall for ourselves and set a king over them, the son of Tabal. Now watch this first of all. The two kings say, let's invade and make a gap. It's a very, very vivid word. It's let's split their leadership. Let's split their culture right down the middle with a crack, and then we'll put a wedge in it and just part the whole thing. That sounds very, very current to me. Put something in the middle and begin to split its culture. Put something in the middle and begin to split its power, its government. the kingdom of the South. Split it open. We'll take it. God's word's always true, church, and he speaks through Isaiah. And if you're a skeptic in the house tonight, and that's cool, I'm glad you're here, just note this. This is God's word. This is a nearly 3,000-year-old prophecy in front of us. And Isaiah speaks and says, this is what's going to happen to those bad guys coming. And you need to go look at history to find out if it happened or not. This is my test to you. If it happened, when you go to research it, you find out if it happened, then what are you going to do with that information? Are you going to say it didn't happen? Frankly, with all due respect, you're a fool, because it is an actual historical event. It is recorded in not only biblical history, but in world history. This that's being prophesied really happened. Number two, if you don't reject it and say it didn't happen, then what are you going to do but believe it did happen? Because why? The facts say it did. Which, where is that going to lead you? If I could get you tonight to consider one prophecy of God against all odds being fulfilled, would you be willing to consider the rest of God's prophetic promises? If you and I are in a logic class or in a debate class and we were preparing, then you know that one of the ways for good that we would do is take a wedge in a crack and begin to open up your thought or your opponent's thought processes in a way by doing it this way. If you can get your opponent, who may be in our context discrediting the Bible, if you can get them to look at just one claim of scripture that is archaeologically, historically, or linguistically, scientifically true, they have to face the facts. Are you with me, everybody? Then you've got them. Because in the laws of probability, if you have one truth proclaimed by God, it's called prophecy, when he speaks truth in advance. Eschatologically is the scientific word. When God speaks in advance, in detail, what's going to happen, when it happens, if you can get any of your friends or professors or skeptics or students to understand that this happened, they've got to face that music. It's inevitable, ladies and gentlemen. Then you've got them.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called God's Word is Always True, Part 1. Isn't that the truth? I'm David J. Thank you for listening today. And if you have faith in Christ and have received him as your personal Savior, like Israel, God's hand of promise and protection will never leave you. God's Word is Always True, Part 1. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. As many of you know, Pastor Jack has a recommended book of the month, and April's book of the month is called Courageous Faith by Ed Heinsohn. In it, we'll discover how to face life's greatest challenges with courage and faith that can only come from the power of God. Courageous faith enables us to live by God's promises, experience his blessings, and encourage us to live beyond the normal limits of life. This exciting book also shows us how to overcome our barriers, conquer our fears, realize our goals, and to start over when we fail. Inside the pages of Courageous Faith, we relive the greatest moments of faith and triumph in the lives of Old Testament heroes, those who dared to believe God's promises in their lives. Again, the April recommended book of the month is called Courageous Faith by Ed Heinsohn, and it's available for purchase at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.